Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Catholic Singles. Every day, hundreds of Catholic singles join CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Breadbox Media listeners get 20% off by using the promo code BREADBOX when they register. Come be our next success story at CatholicSingles.com. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the Friday edition. We try to have a little bit of fun here on Fridays sometimes. Have a little bit of joy, a little pep in our step, and with no exception today, second hour, Jimmy Akin will be here. And we're doing it again. We're opening up the vault of weird questions. We're going to throw all of our weird questions at Jimmy Akin, see what kind of answers he can give us. So hang on for weird questions with Jimmy Akin, second hour. First hour, the joy at the heart of Catholic media himself, Dr. Ray Guarendi. Dr. Ray from all his work at EWTN, from his show The Doctor Is In on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, and from his many, many books, including You're a Better Parent Than You Think, Discipline That Lasts a Lifetime, Fighting Mad, Practical Solutions for Conquering Anger, and a whole bunch of others. But he's got a brand new book called Raising Upright Kids in an Upside Down World, Defying the Anti-Parent Culture. A very much needed book from a very welcome guest. Hi, Dr. Ray.
You know, Cy, you've got Jimmy coming on the second hour, right?
Yes, we do.
This is kind of like the first hour is Wheel of Fortune, and the second hour is Jeopardy.
That is exactly what it's like.
It's kind of like going from kindergarten to your PhD in 2 hours.
That is a perfect analogy. That is well done. So we actually have you on first hour because we know that you can spell three words in a row, and we have Jimmy on.
I can't spell half of Jimmy's words. I'll tell you what. It's kind of like with Jimmy, well, he did call me one time. This was about 15 years ago. Believe it or not, I forget what the situation was, but Jimmy said, Ray, can I ask you a question? And I said, wait a minute.
I know.
Jimmy is calling me to ask me a question? I got it on tape. I got it.
Yeah.
I play it a lot.
Yeah, that's one to keep on the mantle. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, the time Jimmy Akin called me and didn't know something or thought I knew something that he didn't. You're an actual doctor you are a doctor, right? With a degree. This is not just a showbiz doctorate. This is a real
PhD permanent head damage.
Oh yeah. Well, no, I've recovered and you're helping a lot of people in their recovery. I got to tell you, we didn't get it. We were busy with some stuff this week. We had to do some fundraising and stuff. But we didn't really get to talk. I wanted to ask one of the apologists about the Super Bowl just to get there. Cause I was watching it with my dad and then the halftime show came on and that, you know, my dad's a grown man. He's a Vietnam War veteran. You know, like, I didn't want to watch that with him. I'm glad I didn't have any children with me. Is this what you're talking about an anti-parent culture?
That's part of it. But most of the anti-parent culture is much more subtle than that. That's in your face.
Yeah.
Okay, that is 1 billion people watching a soft porn demonstration.
Right.
That the only people now that seem to get upset about it is people of religious moral values. Short of that, everybody else thinks it's wonderful. Witness the crowd. Here's what's happened, Cy. The last 20 years in my practice, and this encompasses the time since I just got out of high school, so 20 years, I have been noticing, and when you're a shrink, the kinds of problems that people bring to you change. This is now the number one problem I deal with. That is, teenagers or young adults who have rejected the way they were raised.
Oh.
Who have rejected the morality, who have rejected their parents' viewpoints, who have a cultural morality. It doesn't mean they necessarily reject the faith, but they redefine the faith. And the parent sits in my office, and they basically say, "What happened?
Yeah.
We didn't raise him this way."
Right.
Why does he think like this? Why does he act like this? We did everything we could to get this kid to absorb the faith, to absorb morality, to absorb responsibility, to even just be a kid not on drugs.
Yeah.
And they're just totally flummoxed. And I say to them, "I believe you. I know you didn't raise him that way. But you underestimated what did." And that is the whole focus of the book, to point out the forces, the seductive, persuasive, powerful forces that are misshaping our kids' souls right under our noses.
You've got to be a little bit willing to accept some, I don't know, ostracizing or sniggering from, sniggering's a word, right? Yeah, sniggering from family members and friends, though, who will be like, "Oh, come on. Why are you being a prude with the kids? Why not let them watch that or have the smartphone, you know, in sixth grade and all that kind of thing?" You got to be a little bit tough as a parent.
I spend the first three chapters talking about what's going to happen to you from your friends, from your relatives, from your kids, if you don't go at the cultural pace, if you don't give in to the technology years too early. Your own parents, some of the more common assaults. "Well, you know, you can't protect them forever. That's a real world out there. And they're going to have to see it someday, you know. When they get out there, they're going to be shell-shocked. They're not going to know how to cope with it." Or they're going to resent you. You know that? They're going to resent you. They're going to look around and they're going to see that you're the only one who does this. Or, "This is what kids do nowadays. This is how they socialize. This is the life of children nowadays. You can't become quasi-Amish." Or they're going to reject the faith. They're going to stop going to church. They're going to say, "You made them go to church." And so when they're 19, they're going to say, "That's it, man. I'm going to college and I'm not going to church." All of these things just assault parents. And what's happening, Cy, is that parents are scared. They're flat out scared. They may know in their gut of guts that they have got to slow down the stuff that's coming at their kids and misshaping their souls, but they're afraid. What happens? "Okay, I didn't give them a cell phone, a smartphone at age 12. I think that's ridiculous. Oh, that's ridiculous." But she continues to nag and nag and nag, and she's getting more upset. And now she's 14. And I happen to know that she is the only freshman in the whole school who doesn't have a smartphone. Now it's a problem. I don't want to give her a smartphone. Why would I want to put a computer in her hands? That's nuts. That's crazy. That's insanity. But oh my gosh, look at the pressure. And that's what parents are dealing with, Cy.
Yeah. Yeah. It really does is an act of defiance, you know, from the title of your book, Defying the Anti-Parent Culture. You really do have to defy it. You have to say, "No, we're just not going down that road with our kid. And this is our one shot with this kid."
I asked the publisher, "Please, please put that subtitle in there, Because if you just say raising an upright kid in an upside down world, it sounds like I'm saying, okay, here's how you foster virtue. Okay, this is what you do to have a really nice kid who's not on drugs. There's a million books like that out there. This one basically says there are forces, never before in human history, there are forces that can seep into your house and all around your child's world that can make them think differently than you, act differently than you, look at sexuality differently than you. Everywhere, they're so powerful. And most parents are either not aware of them, or they're aware of them, but they're underestimating them, or they're not underestimating them, but they're afraid to challenge them. And so that is something I knew I had to deal with. In the book, I talk about smartphones, I talk about computers, I talk about video games, I talk about materialism, I talk about advertising, I talk about peers, I talk about college, for heaven's sakes. All of that, that parents nowadays have to be aware of. And it's no guarantee that your kid's going to turn out the way you want. But in the very earliest chapter of the book, Cy, I say this. I ask parents, do you want to raise a culturally average, normal child, which nowadays means not on drugs, or do you want to raise a 1 in 100 child? And everybody says 1 in 100. I've never had anybody say, no, I think I'll just go with average. Parole officer says he's a good kid. I'm fine with that. No, they all say 1 in 100. And I look at them and I say, well, then are you ready to be a 1 in 100 parent? You can't parent by consensus anymore. Mm-hmm. Automatically, you're going to be different. But that doesn't mean that your kid is going to be a weirdo. It just means you're going to prolong childhood innocence for a while longer so that what you're trying to teach them has room to sink in.
Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest, and we'd love you to get in on the conversation. He's got a brand new book, Raising Upright Kids in an Upside Down World, Defying the Anti-Parent Culture. If you've got questions for Dr. Ray, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. Right back with your questions and more discussion about raising upright kids in an upside down world.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Cy. The latest episode of our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus, is available right now. This week, we talk with Jimmy Akin about what it means to be a Pharisee and whether Catholics meet the description. Here's a little sample.
Yeah. And so so people will get much more animated at times if, let's say, they're a Christian.
Right.
They'll get much more animated about another Christian who disagrees with them than they will about a Hindu.
Yeah.
You know, who just
I don't know.
Theological beliefs. But if they're, you're almost right, but not quite.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where the conflict tends to get generated. And so actually Christianity and Pharisaism have a lot in common, but not everything in common. And that's part of why we see the conflict between the two groups in the Gospels.
You can hear the rest and get past episodes at CatholicAnswersFocus.com. Or subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts.
The best way to pray is simply to open our minds and our hearts to God, to allow His presence to begin to fill us, to restore us, to refresh us, to make us new. The best way to pray is simply to be aware of that presence and to say yes to it, to give fiat to that presence, as our Blessed Lady did. In that way, we delight in prayer, and God Himself delights in us.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and our guest is Dr. Ray Guarendi. Dr. Ray, you know him from his daily show around the world on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And every now and then, he agrees to take a step down and come visit us here at Catholic Answers Live. And this is one of those occasions, and we're talking about his brand new book, Raising Upright Kids in an Upside Down World, Defying the Anti-Parent parent culture. Speaking of the cell phone, I have to say, as a father of only one of my kids is a boy, is a son, and I know that these are issues that are the same in many ways for boys and girls, but I knew that there, even if he doesn't have one of these smartphones, there's going to be the other boys that have them, and I know what boys are going to show other boys. So now I've got a kid, maybe he's 10 years old, and I want to prepare him for that. But I don't know what to say about it. I'm not going to even tell you how I handled it, because I'm sure you'll say, "Oh, Si, that was the worst thing you could do." But I do want to say,
"Oh, Si, you've done worse. You've done worse than that."
Well, I mean, yes, but that I didn't get charged with. Do you see what the dilemma? I can go all in with you on the don't give them the smartphone, but this stuff is out there everywhere. There's going to be those other boys that have it. What do you say to prepare your child for this, the vulgarity of the world that they're about to get smacked with?
If I give you a drink that is 3% poison and you sip it and you notice it's bitter and you don't sip it anymore, will you likely die? No.
No.
If you take 5 sips, you're going to get sick. If you drink the whole drink, you're going to die. So I draw the analogy. Okay, your kid doesn't have a smartphone, and most other kids do. All right. But what you're doing is you're lowering the exposure.
Yeah, okay.
You're not, okay, so he's going to see crap from some of these other kids. But as an aside, it also means you're going to have to be vigilant about who he's with. Because the first time that happens, that kid is off limits. That's it. Okay, the first time you get wind that anything like that occurs, that kid is done.
Yeah.
There's no socialization with that kid. Not going to happen. All right? So the parent basically does this. They reduce the exposure wherever it comes from. For example, if you got a young kid, you don't watch the Super Bowl halftime show. It's that simple. You just don't watch it.
Right.
Now, what you did is he's going to go to school, and he's going to hear from 3 other kids, "Oh, was that cool? Oh, my gosh, did you see it? Oh, was that really neat? Oh, that one part where she..." Okay. But he didn't get full-face exposure to it. And as a result, whatever you're trying to teach him in your loving home has a chance to take root. It's not gone head-to-head against full force out there. That's the difference. You know, if somebody says, "Oh, my 15-year-old daughter doesn't have a smartphone, she's the only one, but all of her friends do, and, you know, when she goes to school or when she goes somewhere with her friends, I mean, that's it, man, they are on that phone." Well, yeah, but she doesn't have it in your house to add another 4 hours to it.
Yes.
There's the difference.
Again, 888-318-7884, our number, Dr. Ray Guarendi, our guest. And don't forget that book, Raising Upright Kids in an Upside-Down World, Defying the Anti-Parent Culture, especially for you young parents. I'm talking to you, Nick. You got 2 little ones now, Dominic and, right? And Nick's not even listening to the show. Our own sound engineer is not listening to the show. Okay, fine.
Dozed off.
Your kids... Yeah, I know Camila and Dominic, but I'm just saying that I was going to say you need this book because you're coming into those years where they're going to face this stuff. Oh, and it's so much stuff to face, too. But that's all right. You don't have to listen to the show on Fridays. The other day, as long as you do the other 4 days. Christina in Lincoln, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. You are up next. Your question for Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Hi.
Hi, Christina.
Hi. Yeah, I have a unique situation. I have my husband and I have 4 children from 19 to 26 years old. The 19 and 21-year-old are in the home some of the time, you know, on vacation, summer. The other 2 visit regularly. 4.5 years ago, we had a baby after years of cancer treatment. So he's our miracle boy.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. my question is, when our children are all home, the internet problem, the cell phones, the smartphones, have become a battle. in our home because we raised our kids without a lot of technology until they were well into high school, and we always monitored everything as best we could, imperfectly, however. And then, as they got older and they all have their own smartphones, it's become more and more of a problem when they're home. My husband also uses his phone more than he should. He knows that. But it's become just a fight. And, you know, even the phone's coming out at the dinner table. Dinner is something that, you know, we always have together when we're
watching
a movie.
Christina, it doesn't have to be a fight. To say that it's a fight means that you battle with them. The other thing is, it's your home. You can have rules. You can have conditions. You can say no phones at the dinner table. That's it. Now, if they defy you, if they flat out, yeah, look at you like, right, Mom, I'm going to do what I want. Well, now they put you in a very difficult position because essentially you've said, as a mother in our home, even though you're living on your own, you know, we're allowed to have our conditions here. If they say no, too bad, so sad, Mom. Well, now they box you into a corner. Now you have to decide, hey, guys, man, I don't know what to do here, but if you're going to come over with your phones, maybe you ought to not come over as much. I'm not telling you to do that, but in a way, I am telling you to do that. Because think about this. Here's what I would say to you, Christina. You either do something about this or you shut your mouth. Don't nag. Don't argue. Don't plead. Don't. All that does is cause trouble, friction. You're either going to set conditions and say, hey, guys, this is what I expect here. Or you're going to be quiet and let them do whatever they want, and you're going to just be happy that they're there. I mean, that's really the two options you have.
What would you do?
I think it would depend upon how much they ignore everybody around them. I have adult children who, in my opinion, I believe are on their phone too much when they're here. I don't say anything. Typically, I take it when we can interact as much as we can. I'm not going to tell a 30-year-old, get off your phone. I'm not going to do that. That's me. I would just simply interact with him as much as I can, personally, as much as I can, and that's it. I'm not going to create friction over it, okay? That's me.
Okay, Christina?
Thank you.
Thank you very, very much.
Hold on a second, Si. Yeah. I just got a phone call here on my phone here. Wait a second. I'll be back. I have to decide whether this person, Si,
is more important than
me. You.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Right.
That's exactly the message.
Yeah.
When I've got my phone and I have to turn and say, excuse me a second, I got to see if this person
is more important than you are.
More worthy of my attention, Si, than you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever hear that phrase, a cell phone can bring you closer to people far away, but it makes you farther away from people closer?
I had not, but that is right on the money. And I like in my family, I'm thinking about my three adult kids came home for Christmas, and the family socialized all morning. We had a great time and all that. And there's a certain point where everyone kind of needs a break and they go on their phones. I don't worry about that, but I hadn't thought about not telling them at all, but I will say something if it's actually interfering with the socializing of the family.
Yeah, I mean, if they're sitting there at dinner and everybody's talking and they're just totally immersed in this thing.
Yeah.
I would probably find some way to say something. I'd say, "Hey, those people more important than your brothers?"
Right.
I might say that. But the problem you run into is that these things are so pervasive. And when you have adults coming into your house, and now this is part and parcel of their existence, you have to decide what you're going to take on, you know? It's a sad reality. I mean, the bottom line is, if that phone wasn't there and your adult kids came into your house, you'd have a lot more personal time together. But the phone kind of takes over when you guys get bored with each other, you know?
Yep. Indeed.
In the old days when you got bored with each other, you found something to do or you took a nap.
Right.
But now it's like, I got to see what's out in the world there.
Christina, again, thank you for the call. 888-318-7884, the number here. Dr. Ray Guarendi, our guest. Let's go to Teresa in Ann Arbor, Michigan, listening to EWTN Channel 130 on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Therese, have I got it right, Therese?
Hello there.
Hi.
I read Dr. Ray's book, not because I needed to, because I know him so well. After raising 7 children, I knew what he was going to say. But I have to just kind of share that we didn't give any of our children a computer until they got out of high school. And one example of how that worked is when the oldest girl went to the University of Michigan Nursing School and had to get a laptop, and everyone had said, she'll never make it. She won't know what to do. She said it took her 10 minutes to learn how to use the computer. So she got straight A's, and she's an incredible lady. Now, we have all these children down to 10 years old, so there's 2 left in our house, 10 and 14. Nobody has a phone. We have an internet-free home. If the children do have homework, they have to go to my husband's office to do it around other people at an office. And none of our children ever had a phone until they drove a car and they got a flip phone, which was very embarrassing, I realize. But our children are incredible adults. And to solve the problem that your last caller just brought up, we have a sign on our door of our home that says, this is a phone-free home. And it's never an issue. I have adult children. I have son-in-laws who probably would rather pull out a phone, but they know they can't. I still have children in my home that I'm raising, and I don't want that to be an issue. So I just wanted to say thank you to Dr. Ray after 33 years of helping me raise my kids, first of all, and my husband. We both appreciate you. And we did it. We do not have the internet at home. We do not have the television at home. We are like circus freaks compared to the people out there.
Teresa, thanks very, very much. I'm going to let Dr. Ray respond when we come back on the other side because we got to do this hard break. Thank you so much, Teresa. She said 33 years he's been helping her. So since he was 2, he's been helping her raise her children. Right back with more Dr. Ray Guarendi, 888-31-TRUTH, the number.
Hello, this is Archbishop Alexander Sample of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. Keep that dial right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Every Catholic has heard the challenge. How can you believe that? Don't you know the Bible says? It's a challenge we have to meet. If we can't reconcile apparent contradictions between Scripture and Catholic teaching, how can our faith survive? And if we can't answer our Protestant brothers and sisters, how will they ever come to embrace the fullness of the faith? In Meeting the Protestant Challenge, apologist Carlo Broussard gives you the knowledge and tools you need to answer 50 of the most common Bible-based objections to Catholicism. Be prepared to give an answer. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Challenge today by calling 844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Many Catholics ignore the Bible. They say they have the Church instead. But we should embrace sacred Scripture, not just as the revealed Word of God, but as a Catholic work, intimately connected with the Church from the earliest centuries. In The Bible is a Catholic Book, apologist Jimmy Akin shows how the Bible cannot exist apart from the Church, in its origins, in the truths it contains, in its careful preservation over the centuries. Scripture is inseparable from the Catholic faith. This is fitting, since both come from God for our salvation. If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the Church. After all, Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 1-844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Does the Church have too many rules? Join me, Dr. David Anders, as we answer your questions right here on Called to Communion. Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Doctor is in this hour on Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, but the man himself is here, Dr. Ray Guarendi. And we're talking about raising kids because you won't be surprised that he's got a book about kids and families out. It's a concern of his for decades now, and he's helped very, very many people. The latest is a really important one, and one I wish I had had because I can't say that my wife and I made all the right decisions. She made all the right decisions, and I undermined them sometimes. But the new book is Raising Upright Kids in an Upside Down World, Defying the Anti-Parent Culture. I hope you'll get it for the young parents in your life. And you can get it wherever good books are sold, Raising Upright Kids in an Upside Down World. Before we went to the break, I didn't let you respond to Teresa, who says you've helped raise her family.
Well, I want to respond to you, though. I think, you know, I'm sorry, Cy. I tend to hear things as a psychologist. And your last statement was a little bit self-fluffy. You said that your wife made all the right decisions. Implication being she married you.
Well, yes.
I picked up on that.
you did hear the deeper meaning. You're a
yes,
well-trained man, Dr. Ray, and that is exactly right. That was the best decision she ever made. And I tell her that all the time.
Well, I told my wife one time we were in an argument, and I said, I think I was a fool for marrying you, and she said, yeah, but I was so much in love I didn't notice. Well, people will say after our previous call, Dr. A, and this mother too, who had older children, that's not the way it works now. The schools all require devices. They all require Chromebooks. They all require laptops. That is it. You know, if your kid doesn't have them, they're going to supply them. That's the way it's done now. And that's true. But if you look at the statistics, Cy, less than half of parents put any kind of controls on these devices. The best I've ever seen is that you can link up your phone or your device to your kid's device.
Oh.
And anything that kid does, any text, any call, anything, you will know exactly. It'll come up on yours. And very few parents do that. I'd say less than 5%. Less than 5%. But that is by far the best thing to do. Plus, you can put controls on everything. You can put that computer in the kitchen. You can put a password on it. You can set certain hours of operation that the computer won't operate other than from 6 to 8. I mean, you could do all kinds of things, but most parents don't. And one of the interesting things I see a lot, Cy, is that Catholic parents, good, faithful, loving people, over-trust their kid. They
yeah.
do. They don't think their kid would ever do anything like this. He wouldn't go on a porn site. He wouldn't receive a sext. He wouldn't traffic in a picture. He wouldn't form a love relationship at age 12, and by age 13, the girl is the center of his or her life. That's not going to happen because they view it as, well, my kid isn't going to do that. And I'm here to tell you, it's not that your kid's bad. It's that this stuff is a conveyor belt that goes right in front of your kids, and they're immature, and their consciences are not all that well formed, and so that's a lot of temptation to keep coming at them. I always tell parents, here's the line I think that is one of the most succinct lines in the book. If my child rejects everything that I've tried to teach him growing up, I want it to be because he had to go over top of me to get to those influences and not because I stepped aside and opened up the gate.
Right. Right. Raising Upright Kids in an Upside Down World is the book. And I do like that you got that word defying in there in the subtitle, Defying the Anti-Parent Culture. It's a brutal culture out there, and you got to fight it. You got to be willing to fight it. Dr. Ray helps you do that in the latest in his latest book. Our number here, 888-318-7884. Let's go to Connor in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Connor, your question for Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Hey, Dr. Ray. My question is, how should we, when we're adult children, fix relationships that have been harmed through sin? Like, how should we honor our parents who aren't those, you know, one in 100 parents you were talking about earlier?
If you have parents who are badly flawed, in your opinion, your judgment, what is the problem with essentially tolerating them, to not get into arguments with them, to show them some level of affection when you can, to just recognize that indeed you didn't get to pick your parents, okay? If you got to pick, you would have taken Ward and June Cleaver. You didn't get Ward and June Cleaver. So as a result, you say, yeah, I'm supposed to honor my parents, but I tell you what, they aren't really all that honor worthy. That's kind of irrelevant, really. You're obliged by God to give them their due. It doesn't mean you have to obey them. You're an adult. But it means civility, maybe, some kind of ignoring a lot of the stuff they say, to overlook their humanness or their hostility towards your Catholic faith or the way you're raising your kid or the fact that you homeschool, all of that. You operate out of a different set of principles. If they don't operate out of being followers of Christ, or if they say they do, but they really don't do it all that well, you are the one called upon to be more forgiving, to be more tolerant, to overlook more stuff, not to be so easily offended by whatever they say. Let it go, Louis. And I think that will at least soothe the relationship. You may never have a warm, wonderful, mature relationship with difficult parents, but at the least, you want to be able to say, yeah, I can flow with it at some degree. There's very few parents that are so bad that you have to say, I don't want them anywhere near my kid. I don't want them anywhere near me. I don't want to talk to them. I wrote a book, the previous book I wrote, and I know I had to write it because it's the only way that Cy would let me on the show. And by the way, Cy, I just want to give you guys a compliment. People say to me, you know, those folks over there in San Diego, I said, hey, the people at Cordial Answers are among my best friends, you know, good people.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Thank you so much, Dr.
I wrote a book
Ray.
Called Thinking Like Jesus. And in it, I talked about toxic people.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't like that term at all, because that's a psychology term. And it all too often means difficult people. It all too often means people that I don't like being around or that disturb my peace. And if that's the lady that lives six houses down on your street, don't worry about it. You don't have to associate with her. But if it's your mom, now you got a problem. And there are very few people that are truly so bad as a mom or a dad that you have to say, I can't be anywhere near them. They're a complete, total threat to my safety and my well-being and my morality. Most of the time, they're just unpleasant and difficult, and you're kind of asked to deal with them.
Connor, we'll leave it there. I hope that's helpful to you. Thank you very much for the call. You're listening to Cordial Answers Live, 888-318-7.
It may stick, Cy. It may stick.
Yeah, right. I do want to take this opportunity, because of what you said, just to point out that I have perfect parents. They were no flaws as a parent. And I will also point out, they always listen First Hour Friday. So two birds, one stone right there. Let's go to Kathy, somewhere here in California. Kathy, your question for Dr. Ray.
Hi, thank you.
Kat.
Okay, so hi, doctor. My son just turned 12, and he grows up without a TV. So now he's very innocent and faithful, but he seems socially awkward. So should I be worried? And what's the long-term effect? Will he be sitting in front of the TV all day in college because he missed out growing up?
Well, Kathy, what I want you to do, you asked the question, should I be worried? Okay, yes. Sit down and worry, okay? Will that help?
No.
Okay. You answered your own question, my dear. You're making a judgment as a parent. I like this boy's innocence. Socially, you say he's awkward. I'll bet he's not. I'll bet he just isn't the stereotypical 12-year-old in our culture. which is maybe too assertive, or maybe a little too in your face, or a little too entitled, or those kinds of qualities you don't like. And so let me ask a simple question here. Is he sweet? Sweet kid?
Yes, very.
Well, then, what are you worrying about? You know, you got a bunch of people listening to this thinking, I want to hit her. I want to hit her. She's got a sweet 12-year-old, and she's sitting there going, I don't know, maybe I'm messing the kid up. Think about this, my dear. If he gets to college and he goes crazy on TV, that is not because you tried to keep his innocence. It is because, for whatever the reason, he got attracted to the TV in college. That's kind of like saying, if I make him go to church when he gets grows up, is he going to not go to church? You know, if I make him apologize to his sister, is he going to grow up and not like women? If I make him eat vegetables, is he going to grow up and eat pizza and french fries? I mean, as parents, you make all these good decisions, and we shrinks have got you all nervous because we're basically saying, gee, if you do these things, be careful, because your kid could rebel someday, and it'll be because you did those things. So I talk about that in the book a lot, where parents will say, all right, if I try to keep his innocence, if I slow down the cultural interference, is this kid going to go crazy when he's 19? Is he going to run like a wild dog when he's in college? I mean, the kid's a virgin when he's 18. The first girl that pays him any attention, is he going to jump in bed with her? Parents never used to think like that, and now they do. And I think it's in large part because the shrinks have got him so nervous that don't be psychologically incorrect here. It's going to blow up in your face.
What do you think, Kathy?
Thanks, Kath.
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
But by the way, oh, Kathy, here's one thing, though. Now, when you don't let him watch that TV, does that mean he doesn't get to see my TV show? Now, that could damage
him. We don't have
cable. I just want to say that.
That is, it's not your responsibility, Kathy. It is not your responsibility.
That's going to mess his head up. He's going to have psychological gap.
Yeah, you're right. You probably should maybe get some black market DVDs of Dr. Ray's show. You can find those.
Black market DVDs. Yeah, they're worth about 8 cents.
Yeah, good luck, Kathy, finding those. Thank you very much for the call. Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest. 888-31-TRUTH is our number. His brand new book is Raising Upright Kids in an Upside-Down World, Defying the Anti-Parent Culture. If you're not a young parent yourself, I know there's probably one in your life who could benefit from that book, Raising Upright Kids in an Upside-Down World. Got a suggestion for some other books for you, because we've been doing this for several years, and we're doing it again this year. It's the 20 Answers Challenge, and here's how it works. We're offering the sampler of all 38 in our series of 20 Answers books at 60% off the cover price. And we challenge you to finish them all this Lent and Easter season. I remember I took the challenge a couple years ago when there were fewer books then, though. 20 Answers, you know, 20 Answers on Mary, 20 Answers on the Eucharist, 20 Answers on moral questions, or on very specific things like Eastern Catholicism, all kinds. Well, as you would imagine, in a 38-book series. We're going to give you free shipping in the continental U.S. on any of the special 20 Answers packs that we've assembled. Just visit the 20 Answers Challenge section at shop.catholic.com today for more info. 60% off and free shipping within the continental United States. Go to, shop.catholic.com.
This is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Thank you for listening to Catholic Answers Live.
A lot of people think that street evangelization involves yelling out of a bullhorn telling people that they're going to hell. Not so with St. Paul's Street Evangelization. Our methods are non-confrontational and effective. We simply offer information on the Catholic faith, along with rosaries, miraculous medals, and prayer. Pope Francis wrote about how beautiful it is to see street preachers joyfully bringing Jesus to every corner of the earth. Street evangelization is fun and fruitful. Join us today at streetevangelization.com.
Beyond Damascus with Dan Demite and Aaron Richards is our show for young adults.
Everybody's talking about encounter. Everybody's talking about that mountaintop experience. What we fail to often talk about is what happens after. What happens beyond that Damascus moment?
Jesus Christ is calling all of us to be missionary disciples, disciples of Jesus who are on mission to bring the kingdom of God here and now on this earth.
Beyond Damascus with Dan Demite and Aaron Richards, tomorrow at 8 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. I said Catholic Answers Live. He thinks our guest thinks it's Cordial Answers Live. He likes to pretend he's our best buddy, but he doesn't even know the name of the show. Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest. He's got a brand new book out, Raising Upright Kids in an Upside Down World, Defying the Anti-Parent Culture. Dr. Ray has a longstanding program on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. The Doctor is in. I'm sure you've probably caught him there. And up next, we have Dickie from Cleveland, Ohio, watching on YouTube Live. Cleveland, one of my top 10 favorite Ohio cities. Dickie, your question for Dr. Ray. Hi, Dickie. Dickie fell asleep. He fell asleep on us. The two of you. You and Dickie think that this show is... I'm going to go to Felipe in Spring, Texas. You guys see if you can wake Dickie up, and then we'll come back to him. Felipe in Spring, Texas. Are you still awake, or have you fallen asleep on us as well?
Dr. Ray, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I have two kids, two men, 39 and 35 years old. Both are engineers with master degrees. Good value. They have excellent jobs. I feel that my wife and myself did a good job to reach their goals, but we failed to reach their purpose in life, because in my opinion, the main purpose of our life is to try to reach the eternal life. So my question to you: do you think that we can still help to them to reach their purposes?
Felipe, thank you. I think you ask for very many people, many of us with adult children. Face the problem with some or all of those children that they just don't seem to grasp the importance of that relationship with Christ and with his church. And now, is there anything we can do now that the kids are in their 30s or 40s? Dr. Ray?
That is kind of the longstanding byproduct of cultural misshaping. That's what happens when the kids are shaped by the cultural forces. Ultimately, a good percentage of them just decide the whole God thing doesn't belong in their lives. I have kids who have drifted from the faith also. For the most part, I keep my mouth shut. I'm not going to preach, and I'm not going to nag. If any kind of moral topic comes up, I'll engage them. But I have to decide whether I'm causing more harm than good by engaging in these kinds of interchanges that create friction. They are adults. They can do what they want regarding the faith. And hopefully, if I have an opening, I might give them a book. I do that. But I find it's more profitable when I give my children who are marginally in the faith a book. Those who are hostile, I really have to tread lightly regarding when to bring the subject up. For the most part, I let them hang around their mother because she's a much more holy example of the faith than I am. So given that, Felipe, I would say create a smooth, decent relationship with your sons and be careful about pushing the faith too hard. Usually that pushes them further away, especially if they think they're so smart as engineers that they don't need to even deal with this stuff of their father, which is kind of Neanderthal and a throwback to simpler thinking.
Yeah. Felipe, thank you. Thank you for that. I think we have Dickie now in Cleveland, Ohio, ready to go. Are you there with us, Dickie?
Yes, I am.
Your question for Dr. Ray.
All right. Well, so I'm a 24-year-old computer science major about to graduate from college, and I'm concerned that starting my career will take away time from following my faith. So I wanted to know if your book in particular, or you have any tips to balance my time between work and my faith.
I got a book called Thinking Like Jesus, and it deals with the way to look at people, the way to look at life, the way to look at your faith in this world. the way you interact with all this stuff, Dickie. It's not either or. Your faith is going to be enhanced by your career. It's not going to take away from your faith. It's not going to say, okay, I'm a computer guy and I spend 50 hours at work. Gee, I'm not as holy anymore. That has nothing to do with it. You can live your faith no matter where you are, because the core of your faith is love and forgiveness and those things. Yeah, you may not have enough time to read like you want to read or listen to my friends at Catholic Answers, but you still can live your faith, and you can live it anywhere, and you can live it when you're working 50 hours a week. Don't worry that you're going to somehow get thinner in your relationship with God simply because now you're entering the real world. You make it actually better in your relationship with God.
What do you think, Dickie?
Thank you, Doctor. That's really helpful. I'm also just a little bit concerned that my major may have me question my faith. Can I just run that by you?
Keep one thing about the sciences. Someone who is deep into the sciences sees the mathematical beauty of the world. Unfortunately, okay, Dickie, I'll give you this analogy. You look down on an anthill, and I say, hey, Dickie, you see that one ant over there? He's like twice as smart as all those other ants. Would you be impressed by that ant? You wouldn't. And why not?
I wouldn't be impressed by the ant.
Because he's an ant, right?
Right.
You're infinitely above that ant. Well, when God looks at the smart people in our culture, for example, scientists who are just, they're twice as smart as anybody else. Yeah, but in God's scheme of things, they're ants in terms of their knowledge. I personally think that the little old lady who has a simple faith is the smarter person. Because think about this. If your intelligence and your career and your quote-unquote understanding of the material universe pulls you away from God, and in fact there is a God, then your knowledge is stupidity, because you have missed the biggest reality of all. And I look at these really, really, really smart people in our culture who are basically ants compared to God in their intelligence, and I think, if you're wrong, then you are among the dumbest people to walk the face of the earth. You may know a lot about physics, but you're missing the ultimate reality.
Dickie, thank you very, very much for that call. Man, I hope Dickie's able to make a living. Can you make any money in computer programming? Is there any?
Money? You got to be a psychologist. We make the big dollars.
I thought it was English majors, but what? I guess you got to follow your heart. So I hope it works out. Let's go to Eduardo. Oh, Eduardo's in Brazil, watching on YouTube Live. Sorry, I kept you waiting. Calling from Brazil, Eduardo. Your question for Dr. Ray.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. And thank you for your apostolate. It really helped
me. Eduardo, I don't want to interrupt you, but I'm going to interrupt you. The other night we were playing trivia, and the final question was, this city was the most populous city in the Western Hemisphere and the Southern Hemisphere, and we got it. Sao Paulo, 12 million.
Well, it's too bad it was not real.
Oh, is that where you are? Okay, it's not a competition there, Eduardo. You better go. You better get that question out, though, because we're going to run up to the top of the hour. So your question for Dr. Ray.
Okay, my question is not about raising kids, but it's more about raising in-laws. Here's the thing. I was an evangelical pastor for 10 years, and I converted to Catholicism. And my wife converted a little while after me. And my father-in-law is giving us a really, really hard time. He's a great person. He's a great man. We used to be best friends. He's an elder at an evangelical church. But he even said things like, now I am an idol worshiper. He even said that he would be less disappointed if I had become an atheist.
We face those. I get the question. There's not very much time. What do you do in a situation like that with the in-laws?
All I would say is, do you want to know why I think the way I think? Do you want to know what the Catholic Church actually teaches? Or do you just want to argue and put it down? I'd put it back in him. And you know, it's interesting. He was probably raised Catholic down in Brazil. Chances are real high he was raised Catholic, and then he decided that the evangelicals had more of a Christianity than Catholics do.
Yeah, actually he was raised evangelical. His mom was an evangelical and his dad was Catholic.
Oh, so he preferred
and
mom.
And he was away from the faith, and when his mom passed away, he came back to church to evangelical.
Ask him this real quickly. Say, okay, Dad, what is a Christian? And then I got to believe whatever he tells you, you'll be able to say as a Catholic, well, I believe that. Well, I believe that. So why am I not a Christian?
Eduardo, thank you for that call. You can probably hear the music. We got to go. Next hour, Jimmy Akin's going to be here. We're going to do weird questions with Jimmy Akin. Dr. Ray Guarendi's new book is Raising Upright Kids in an Upside Down World, Defying the Anti-Parent Culture. Please get it. And Dr. Ray, thank you very much for being with us for this hour.
Sigh, anytime.
Well, you got to write another book.
You guys play hardball.
Yeah, write another book, you can come back.
Jeez.
Makes us look like a big deal. Talking to Dr. Ray that way. Come on, it's all a big front. We'll be right back with Jimmy Akin.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by A few minutes each day can change your life during Lent. Ave Maria Press offers booklets for daily devotion, reflection, and more from such best-selling authors as Gary Zemak, Greg Kandra, Father Michael White, and Tom Corcoran, and so many more. Looking for Stations of the Cross booklets or books that are perfect for small groups? We have those too. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LENT20 to get 20% off your order today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Redbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.